as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on me." When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed?" This is my Jesus voice. "Where are other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Hallelujah. Thank him for his grace. You know, when we think about Thanksgiving, sometimes I think about the consumers and the unbelievers has taken Thanksgiving too far. They are removing Thanksgiving so far out that it's becoming a holiday called Black Friday. Now there, I was listening to the radio. I don't know if you guys know what a radio is nowadays, but I was listening to a radio, and there was a report that families were having Thanksgiving supper earlier and spending less time together so that they can attend Black Friday. And I can tell you, some of the videos I saw on Black Friday, there was no Thanksgiving going on. There was no Thanksgiving going on. I saw one video where they was just showing, and you know, it's ironic. I'm pretty sure that it didn't go like this all over the place, but the media shows so much negativity. And I looked at a couple of videos, and they were showing people looking stressed at Black Friday. People were showing greed. People were showing, they were grabbing and snatching from each other. They were pulling and bumping. Ungrateful people. On Thanksgiving Day. My, how the world is trying to flip it. And then you get the news reporter who's interviewing someone, and they're celebrating, they're happy, and they're talking about how they made it through, how they went through Black Friday, and they got this 65-inch color television for 50 to 70% off. Oh, he said, TV was $1,000, and I paid $500 for this. But they were praising. He was praising. He was celebrating the fact that he went through Black Friday and got a television. You know, Thanksgiving isn't about turkey stuffing, lights, trees, TVs, blenders, TVs, 50%, 70% off. Thanksgiving is not about that. When you know Jesus Christ, every day is Thanksgiving. For the believer, waking up in the morning is a day of Thanksgiving. Being able to dress yourself, able to speak, able to smell, able to taste, able to touch, able to see. Thank you, Lord. When I think of his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his love and kindness, thank you, Lord. Every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. My heart shouts, thank you, Lord, for being able to get up in the morning. My heart shouts, thank you, Lord, that I'm able to go to work each day. My heart shouts, thank you, Lord, to come home to a roof over my head. My house shouts, thank you, Lord, to be able to lay down and sleep. My heart shouts, thank you, Lord, being able to eat, sleep, shower, and shave. That's what Thanksgiving is about. I say, thank you, Lord. We say, thank you, Lord. Now back to the 10 lepers. You know that 9 of them were blessed. Well, 10 were blessed. But the 9 took God's grace for granted. They took off. I think they went to Black Friday, maybe. They left and went to Black Friday. They did not show any appreciation. I really don't know where they went or where they end up. But I doubt their blessings continue to flow their way. I doubt that they just lived a holy, holy life because they didn't appreciate. But I know that one Samaritan, that one stranger who threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, I got to believe he is one blessed man. You may not know my story, but I just shared my glories. I just shared my glories, how God has blessed me, and how I wish and hope that you are thanking him for those blessings. I thank you for providing that food he gives me. Thank you for being on my side no matter what I'm going through. I thank you for his grace and mercy. He didn't have to. I didn't deserve it. I can go on and on and on and on about how many blessings he has flowed my way. Waking me up. Although sometimes I have some aches and pains, he wakes me up though. I thank him for that. Now look at someone else, or maybe the same person, and say, God has blessed me. And I thank him for those blessings. Let us pray. I am thankful for his grace. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Father. God of all blessings. Source of all life. Giver of all grace. We thank you for the gift of life. For the breath that sustains life, hallelujah. For the food of this earth, for the love of family and friends, I thank each and every one of you. We thank you for your creation of beauty the eye can see, for the joy the ear may hear. We thank you for this day, one more day to love. We thank you for your grace and salvation. For these and all blessings, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Mr. Bugs. How many of you were blessed on Thanksgiving? Amen? Look at that. Well, JJ's hand did not go up. And JJ has been sick. He has eaten, since like Wednesday, one bite of pizza, top ramen. And I think he was bold last night and had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And he was indeed sick with the flu. And I was elected to stay home and take care of him, rather than get everybody sick in Lisa's family and my family. My uncle's 80 and my mom's 79, and that can be bad. Can I get a witness on that? So my wife comes down sick yesterday up at my mom's house after he's already been hugging on her whole family and then hugging on my whole family. And so she did not come back because she didn't want to get my kids sick as they were driving back from Fresno. So you see, no worship team up here today. But we're going to have water baptism, and we're going to have some testimonies, and we do have some music. And I have that for you right here.
For other things we're thinking of, and for your everlasting love, for all the blessings that you bring, thank you, God, for everything.
Let every creature, great and small, praise God who gives life to all. Take a moment on the way to count the blessings of each day. Lord, please teach us how to live, to love, to care, and freely give. May our lives always include an attitude of gratitude. I want to thank you.
Take time to thank you.
Every single day, blessings on the way, every breath I take. Thank you, God, for everything. Single smile that makes that world go by, for every clear blue sky. Thank you, God, for everything.
For everything. Lord, help us to be more like you. Be patient in the task we do. Accept the things we can't control, and trust when hardships take their toll. Lord, help us to appreciate the life itself, so give so good. To learn to just say thanks will rise above their feeble strength. Oh,
yeah. I want to thank you.
Take time to thank you.
Every single day, blessings on the way, every breath I take. Thank you, God, for everything.
I want to thank you. Take time to thank you.
Every single smile that makes that world go by. For every clear blue sky, thank you, God, for everything.
Thank you, God, for everything.
Well, we're going to have an opportunity for some folks to state what they're thankful for today. In fact, that's what the whole focus on today is, giving thanks. Amen? That would be you, Matt. I think you hit, or somebody hit the light switch over there, one of the two. All right. I guess momentarily I will be out there fixing all this. But anyway, you can see me, right? Thank you, Mateo. All right, put it on light number two. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, light number three. Actually, light number four, that way we can see the screen good. Thank you very much. A little round of applause for Mr. Matt, sound man extraordinaire. Guess what? I am thankful for Matt Gaudet being on that soundboard and for Danielle and for so many of you. Staying home with JJ, there are some things that you become aware of and you become thankful for that you're not usually cognizant of. Being able to go to Food for Less on Thanksgiving Day and to, now I had invitations, actually two invitations to go to Thanksgiving dinner. And I was unable to leave the house because JJ was so sick. And so I did go score us you know what I'm really thankful for is DiGiorno's pretty good, you know. But I'll tell you what, I'm feeling emotion right now. There's a feeling you get standing all alone on Thanksgiving Day in Food for Less, buying a frozen pizza. And it's just like, oh. I mean, Lisa sent, I don't have the picture, she sent a picture of my brothers and my uncle, my mom and their families all lined up for Thanksgiving. She sent me a picture the previous day on Wednesday night of all of her sister and their families and her niece and families and her nephew and her dad and maybe an aunt or two all lined up. But to buy that frozen pizza, you know, I'm thankful for the Simpsons who had some folks over their house. So they didn't have to go buy a frozen pizza. And I know some of you opened your homes, and I'm so thankful for that. And I'll tell you what, I really did enjoy that pizza. I'm thankful for that. But man, I am so thankful to be able to serve you and to be able to follow the call of the Lord and to give my life in what I hope is a worthy effort. It is an incredible call. It is an incredible challenge. It is an incredible blessing. And I asked some folks to come up and to share their testimonies. And in fact, there was one person who asked me to share their testimony, and that's Lori. And so, Lori, come on up here. And we're going to have our water baptism guys coming up in just a minute. No Cain today? Hallelujah. You know what? God, we're two or three. God's right here with us. Amen.
Okay. Stay close in case I need to hang on to you.
All right. We'll just make it look good.
No, that's fine. I mean, just
well, that's fine.
Be close.
No, I'm right here.
Okay,
I'm right here.
Okay. Oh. I want to be strong, okay?
All right. Let's hear that.
Okay, so Wednesday.
Hold on. Tell us about what's going on with your body and how the Lord is carrying. Because I know we're going to talk about your car. But what's, I mean, you're limping up here and you got some stuff going on and God is meeting you in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your need. Amen. Let's hear a little bit about that.
Okay, so in case you guys don't know.
Talking to my friend.
Oh, I got stenosis of the back and narrowing of the spine.
What's stenosis mean?
Stenosis is where you have the, I don't know what it's called, between each of your bones. They're like discs, but they're gel-like stuff. Well, mine's completely gone between 3 and 4 and 4 and 5. So it's bone to bone. It's rubbing on bone. And then I have narrowing. This is would be your nerves, and it's squeezing it like this.
So you're sitting on top of each other
and
squeezing
my nerves.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have to walk with a cane, and they're trying to pump me with pills because they don't want to give me an operation just yet. Why? I don't know. I'm leaving it up to God.
And what's God doing as you're leaving that up to him?
Well, I know yesterday I felt like I couldn't walk, so I pretty much stayed home. And I thought, well, let me start getting in the Word of God. So I opened the Bible, and I read about healing. So that's what comes out your mouth, goes to his ears, and hears everything that you're in need of. So this morning, I went into meditation, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I don't want the pain today. It's too intense. I don't want it. I don't need it. So I said, okay. So it's hard for me in the morning to get up. So I had to push myself up. Every morning I walk like a toddler side to side. Well, this morning I walked straight. I walked straight into that where I had to go to the bathroom. I walked, and that's why I'm walking up here. Because Jesus heard my prayer. Now, with this prayer on, can I go on now?
Yeah,
the other, with my prayers on Wednesday, there was a job fair at Bahia. And so I says, my prayer in the morning was, Lord God, please, no matter what, get me to this job fair. I don't, my back, don't let it hurt. Don't let anything stop me. So I kept on, so I got in the car, I got up, got ready, got in the car, didn't even bother looking to see if my car, usually I go around the car to make sure everything's okay, but I didn't do that. I got in the car, went up the alley, because my car is parked in the back of the alley, went up the alley, some guys were waving at me, and I thought, oh yeah, okay, God bless you. So yeah, God bless you too, right? Kept on going, got on the 5, got on the 163, got on the 8. When I got on the 8, I heard a pa-pow. So I thought, oh no, I better pull over, something's going on. Then I heard a voice say, get to the Bahia. And so I said, okay, well, I'm gonna go on. So I came around the West Mission Bay, and car was going back and forth. And I said, oh, I definitely have to pull over. And then I heard that voice again. I said, get to the Bahia. Amen. So I went on and got to the Bahia. By the time I got to the Bahia, I got out of the car. The tire was completely flat to where you could push it in. And so I thought, oh, I ruined the rim. But let's take care of that after I get the interview. So went in, got the interview, came out, called the roadside assistance. Roadside assistance put the donut on. There was more that went on in that day, but I'm not going to go into it because it would be too long. But when I finally...
Now we're having lunch afterward, and yep. You can ask her all the things that God is doing in her life. Amen?
So then I took the tire because I thought, oh, I ruined the rim. Or the... It was the rim, right? The rim. And I thought, oh, it's not going to hold a tire. So I went to Wabash tire place. I asked him to check the rim. He said, well, your tire is completely demolished. And so he put a new tire on. And my tires are $100. He gave it to me for $40. Okay, and so then he put the tire on. He says, if the rim is ruined, you can't hear it going to pop, 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 and it won't hold the air. Well, pop, 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 there's the air. And it's still on my tire. The tire's on there now, right now.
Amen.
So I got one more thing to say. So in the process of all this, I go home and I read the Bible again, and I go to Matthew 11, 22, 24. And it says, let me remember what it says. It says here, have faith in God, Jesus said. I tell you the truth. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for and you believe in, that you will receive it, and it will be yours in the name of the Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm shaking here.
That's fine. Can you get over there? Let me get you back. All right, Aaron, we're going to come up to you next. So get on in there. I'll get this mic set up for you. Nice and warm today, right, Mr. Bugs? I heated that for you. That air in here, I didn't turn the air conditioning on. I probably raised it, I don't know, a tenth of a degree. Let's see. All right. Oh, you know what? No, I can't do that. Hey, you said it wasn't cold. She's in here walking around here. Everybody said it wasn't cold. Oh, look at this. Let's see. All right, Aaron, I'm just going to let you hold this because it's not going to electrocute you. There's only 9 volts. All right, and I'm going to grab this other mic and I'll ask you a question.
All right, just one person taking pictures and we'll post them someplace where you can get to them. Amen? You can do that, Ann?
You can do that, Ann? But you can post it where they can get to them? And where will that be? Facebook. If you don't know how to get to Facebook, you're probably like me. Tommy, move this pulpit, would you? All right, let me get my cable here. Sorry, folks. I texted my wife this morning, said, it's so weird not having you here. And she said, it's weird not being there. But, all righty, I forgot about the mic. All right, so is it warm now for you, JoJo? Hey, JoJo, you're up there. You're going to get baptized in water as a... But keep it going, guys, all the way over. Yeah, put it up there on that step. Don't break it. All right, that's good, right there. Because Lori can't move, and she couldn't see. All righty. Hey, man, can I get a round of applause on that? Thank you very much. All right, Ann, I'll tell you, why don't you come stand right there, and you get a good kind of shot of it. Yeah, we're good. All right, here we go. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's your body heat. It's warming that water up, and we're taking care of it for Erica. All righty. Now, you're good there. Take one shot and then slide back. Now, JoJo, yes. When did you give your life to the Lord?
10/8/15.
Day of your transplant. Transplant of what?
My bone marrow transplant.
Bone marrow transplant. I've heard that's a big deal. It's a big deal just to find the marrow to get transplanted.
I harvest my own.
Oh, you got your own?
Yes.
I don't know how that works. But, so how did you end up connecting with the Lord on that momentous day?
He saved my life. He changed my world.
How did that work? As you just connected with him, how did that?
Everything just started changing. My whole life just started changing for the better.
Amen? Amen? Yeah. All right. So give me that date again.
10/8/15.
10/8/15. So about 3 years ago.
Yes.
What does it mean today to have given your life to the Lord, serve the Lord, and how do you see the next year or two playing out? What's different knowing the Lord in your life?
I'm a lot calmer, cleaner, and happier, positive, and just a lot of good things in my life are going good.
Yeah, yeah. Has the Lord given you a glimpse of what he wants you to do?
Just to be with him and do what's right.
Ooh, be with him and do what's right. Amen? All right. All right, Aaron Bugs, you can baptize that lady. Amen. Yeah, so you got to applaud loudly because normally we got music, but today no music. Who do we have next, Mr. Bugs?
Come on down, Armando. Pick those up.
Now, your wife warmed that water right up. Now, Armando.
Yes.
Your wife got saved 3 years ago. You're much more recent than that.
3 months ago.
3 months ago, yes. And it was right here on a Sunday,
right,
man.
Here. Yeah, nailed down right there.
What happened that day that was different than all the other days?
I felt something good, and you know, while you were talking,
uh-huh,
while you were preaching, and I just felt something beautiful.
Amen. Nice. And you surrendered to your life to the Lord that day. What did that mean to you to make that surrender?
Well, it means that I have to follow through upon his name and what he left behind for us as an example.
Amen. So what has been different in the last 3 months?
Last 3 months, we've been, myself here in our house, we've been blessed with a lot of good things.
Amen.
Amen.
What is the Lord showing you that he wants you to do in your life, serving him and ministering for him?
To follow through with other people.
Amen.
And let them know how I feel.
A challenge?
Yes, a challenge. It's changed my life.
Hallelujah.
I see the, my life different now.
Hallelujah. All right, Mr. Bug, let's see if I can get over. right, for those of you who habla, all right, our next baptismal candidate is Erica, and her native language is Spanish. She speaks some English, and we were talking earlier, and she says, "Can I get a translator?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. I'll ask the questions, and you can just answer in Spanish." And I'm sure there's a bunch of folks here who already speak Spanish. Amen. Muchos habla español, right? All right. All right, Erica. Nice and warm? No, not very warm. All righty. We were talking a little bit earlier. How long have you been saved, and when did you get saved, Erica? No, you say it in Spanish. That's fine. Talking to the mic, though.
2014.
Okay. And you were in the United States in a church service. Sí. Tell us a little bit about what was going on.
Estaba en una iglesia donde actualmente mi esposo asistía. Y por él fue que yo fui guiada a la iglesia. Y cuando yo empecé a ir al servicio, a mí me gustó. Del comienzo sí estaba como un poco fría. No me sentía a gusto, pero ya conforme seguí yendo, me sentí mejor y me gustó y sentí que encontré al Señor.
Amen, amen. What? Now, you've been coming to church with your husband here for a while. You've been going to church all along, or is this something new that's been happening in the last 6-8 months?
Sí, así ha sido los tiempo que he estado viniendo aquí.
What does the Lord, how's the Lord moving on you, and how does he want you to serve him, to bless him, to live this life now that his son died on the cross for you?
Pues el Señor ha hecho muchas cosas por mí y mi familia, y me ha ayudado en muchas necesidades que hemos tenido. Me he sentido bendecida, y más viniendo a la iglesia, y desde el momento que yo he sentido así, he querido seguir viniendo sin parar.
Amen. All right, Aaron Bugs. Those are Spanish applaud.
Erica, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen. Thank you. All righty. Well, I asked a couple other people to come up and testify right there in front. Bells on. Rocky, come on up, sir.
Good morning. I'm Rocky, for those of you who don't know me. I'm thankful for my family. And for a long time ago, like probably 25 years ago, I was walking at Mission Beach on the boardwalk. And some people came and asked me, would you like us to pray for you, you know? And my mom taught me always, you know, when someone mentions the Lord or something, to talk to him. And they asked me if I wanted to accept the Lord, you know, as my Savior. And thankfully I did. And it was a seed planted in my life a long time ago. And that's part of my testimony. You know, I'm alcoholic and an ex-addict. Still an addict, but, you know, set free, exactly. And from that day on, you know, looking back in hindsight, it was, you know, just divine intervention in my life. You know, I went to jail after that. I was baptized in jail, which spirit's so strong in there. And I'm sort of nervous. And, you know, from ever since then, you know, the Lord's been working in my life. You know, he got me into rehab a long time ago. And like, you know, the pastor and stuff, everybody's professionals. I needed professional help with my demons, you know. And he put the Alcoholics Anonymous in my life. I, you know, totally believe, looking back, it just took the desire to use and drink out of my life, you know. And I met my wife. My wife pushed me in there pretty much, you know. And it. Heavy mic, Pastor Bob.
That's good. That's good. I'm giving you some help here. I just wanted to come right here. Come right here. I just
kind of look that way, Rock. No, look, wait, hold on. Wait, look that way. See, I just want to show you something. Now, put your hands on his back like you're pushing. See, I think she had divine assistance.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, and we were still using. She's pregnant, and she found out. It sort of hurt, but she found out she's pregnant when she was in jail, and that's when just everything, you know, from the conception of Rocky, his life changed right there, as well as mine and hers. I'm just thankful that God put everything in my life, my mom, everything, and just every day is a blessing. And my pain is spiritual and mental. Thank God it's not physical. And I too pray and ask God when I'm feeling that anguish and stuff. I ask God, I hate feeling like this. Can you please take it away? It took a while for me to perfect that prayer, but it works every day when I'm not feeling, you know, just anger and all that other stuff. And I'm just grateful. My mother-in-law, I love her. I didn't really want her to come live with us, but I love her. She's been nothing but a blessing in our lives. Amen. Amen.
Now, thank you, Rocky. I asked Rocky to come up, or I texted him. He said, warning, I'm a man of few words. I'm thinking, there's a lot of words there. Tenemos lugar después, okay? All right. I got one more shot. And then I'm going to play a song I'm going to set up. Miss Dana Collins.
Hello. Well, I am thankful for, you know, the normal things like my family and my kids and, you know, my church family. And I'm really thankful that I have the opportunity to work with the kids of the kids program and to learn with the kids as I'm teaching them. But one of the things I'm most thankful for is for God's love and forgiveness. And the way he loves me, I'm learning how to do that. I mean, not a day-to-day thing because it's really hard. You know, it's a week-by-week thing, but I'm trying to learn that kind of love that he loves me. You know, that's such an amazing love. But the most thing that I'm thankful for is that God keeps his promises. Hallelujah. And that gives me so much hope that, though, that's what I'm thankful for. And I am the person of little words today. And those are my thanks. Thank you.
Few words, but weighty words. Amen? Go ahead and play that for us, Danielle.
For the Spirit's leading, thankful that in you there's healing. Lord, I'm thankful for you. Lord, I am thankful. Thankful for the name of Jesus. Thankful for the blood that cleans us. Lord, I'm thankful for you. Each day I am for the Spirit's leading, thankful that in you there's healing. Lord, I'm thankful for you. Oh, let my spirit soar and worship to your name. My life is not the same by the power of your blood. And every moment that I breathe, your spirit leads and meets my every need. I'm walking in the light of you. I'm so thankful, thankful for the name of Jesus. Thankful for the blood that cleans us. Lord, I'm thankful for you.
You go ahead and close that down, Danny, if you would, up top. Well, that's good. We'll fix that. Turn the lights back on, if you would, Matt. It is time that we greet one another. Now, there's sickness going around. There's some cleanser back there, so you can do fist bumps. You can do all that kind of stuff. Just be careful, folks. It's among us. God bless you all. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's greet one another in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are so thankful. So many thanks. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I don't know where the kids, I guess the kids are staying up. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. How was everybody's Thanksgiving? It was good. Praise God. So was mine, you know. I fasted a little bit before Thanksgiving and so that I could be ready. So I ate. And the thing about fasting is if you fast for a long time, you can't eat as much. So I didn't eat as much. But I thought, okay, so now that I ate, I'm kind of full, I'll go for a little walk. And so it had been a while. You know, you guys know that I was doing the Fit program for a while. So I said, I'm going to go for a little walk. So I went for a walk, and I got halfway up the hill, and I was panting. I was like, I'm out of shape. I'm out of condition. And so those, Pastor Paul, I know you are long distance runner. We know how important it is for our hearts to be in shape. You got to have that shape where it's the heart that pumps and gives us blood flow. Mary Jo knows that. Gives us that blood flow. So I was thinking, okay, so now I'm full. I'm so full. The next day at prayer, I said, maybe if I turn myself upside down, all of it will flow down. That's an inside joke for those who follow us on the prayer page book. And I always end with stay prayed up, not prayed upside down. Amen. So, but anyway, getting back to the heart, the message comes from, in our tithes and offerings, comes from Hebrews 13. It says, it is good for your hearts to be strengthened by grace. Our spiritual heart is strengthened through the word of truth. Amen. When we receive the message of God's goodness and grace, it's important to keep our spiritual hearts strong and fit, which is accomplished by acts of obedience to God. Amen. Not upside down. Our intentions should be to seek the fulfillment of God's purpose in all we do, not merely what we do with our money. We look to Jesus as the greatest example of giving and obedience. And following God's will in the light of his example, let us examine our hearts and give our tithes and offering this morning. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Can I have the ushers up? Praise God, we thank you today for the many blessings that you have given us over these holidays. God, we ask that you would change our hearts today. Change our hearts, Lord, to be more giving, to be more forgiving, and to be obedient to your word, O God. We know that your word, you have left us as a guide, O God. Let us stay in your word, meditate in your word, and apply it in our daily lives. Lord, we thank you for all that you have given us, and we give back a portion of that to you today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
When were you on staff in New Mexico?
Yeah.
How many years ago? Lots?
I'm looking at my wife now going, yeah, probably.
16 years ago, and came to San Diego and has been teaching the high school system. So,
a little bit of applause. We don't need that. All right. Good morning. I want to start off. I want to welcome you here. I think it's great. Everyone came this morning. I am going to cheat today. I am going to sit on a stool. And it's because we are stenosis twins. I think together the two of us could put our spines, maybe make one good one. I want to welcome my wife's dad and mother, stepmother, to church today. And I'd like you all to join me, please. Thank you. And singing happy birthday to Shirley. Today is her birthday, so if you join me, please. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Shirley. Happy birthday to you. For those of you that walked in this morning, there's no singing. That was it. That's all we're doing. You want to do it again? All right, we'll do it at the end, yeah. December 1st, that's Matt's birthday. I think that's the next one coming. As we did walk in this morning and noticed there was no singing, I went into a panic. I showed up here and there was like one other car in the parking lot. And I will admit, I am rarely, if ever, on time for worship practice. We usually get here around just at like 8:50. It's supposed to be at 8:45. We just kind of sneak in. And coming here with no cars in the parking lot, I was in a panic. I was like, this cannot be right. This is weird. And I felt bad until Aaron came running in like at like 9 o'clock, like, I got to fix the water. So everyone felt late this morning because there was no worship. So that is a little different. But as I thought about it, I was reminded of an interview back in the 80s. And we're going to talk about basketball a bit today, just a couple times. And there was a player, those of you that are older will remember, Hakeem Olajuwon, possibly one of the greatest centers that has ever played in the NBA. And he was interviewed by a magazine, and he was talking about his faith, which is Muslim. And he was saying that basketball for him is a way to worship God, because his playing basketball is a gift from God. And when he shows others that and he uses that as a platform to tell others about his beliefs and everything else, that to him is worship. So, you know, we can kind of take that out. And anytime we do something that is using our gifts from God to serve him, that is worship. So, yes, singing up here and all singing music together is worship. That is a form of worship. And it's a great one, and it's one we're going to do in heaven, according to the Word of God. But there are many other forms of worship. And anytime you are serving him, you are worshiping him and thanking him for the gifts he's given you. And that's what worship is, really, is thanking, is gratitude. And we're going to talk a lot. We've been talking, we will talk a lot about gratitude today. This being Thanksgiving weekend, as it were. I will say that as we look at our text this morning, Luke 17, 11 through 19, it may be familiar because Aaron read it to you this morning. And I will promise you that Aaron and I have not talked about this at all. And we're going to talk about Santa Fe a lot too, actually. And one of the things the pastor that was our first pastor when we got saved used to teach was, if God tells you something once, you should listen. If God tells you something more than once, you better have your listening ears on. And I, like I said, Aaron and I did not, put this together at all. And these are the verses that God led Aaron to. These are the verses that God led me to. And you being here, these are the verses God wants us all to hear. So this is important for everyone here. Enjoy. I know I will. Let's pray, though. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you have brought us all here. We thank you, Lord, that, Father, you teach us. We thank you, Lord, that you transform us into the image of your Son every day, every minute, Lord, every time that we gather together, every time we hear your word, every time we fellowship with others, Lord. You are chipping away those rough edges. You are forming us into the image of your Son. I pray, Lord, that today your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, would be the sculptor, Lord, that makes this pot, that makes this vessel, that we can serve you. And Father, I pray that as we finish this and as we learn about these things in your word, these principles in your word, Lord, that you would help increase that gratitude that we have. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You have probably heard the saying, sorry, I'm opening up my Bible for those of you that are electronically reading the word here. For those of you that aren't, we are in Luke 17, and it's verses 11 through 19. I know it's a little small on the screen, and I'm hoping that as we go, it kind of gets bigger. Mainly because it looked really big on my computer when I did this. Luke 17, 11 through 19 is where we are today and where Aaron was also. You've probably heard, the saying, have an attitude of gratitude. And they talk a lot about our attitude and gratitude together, mainly because they rhyme. And it's a nice little platitude, as it were. It's a nice little saying. But it's kind of not God's way. And it's funny because I tuned into the prayer time on Friday. And, I opened up the Facebook page, and there's Tommy Banks upside down. And I got to say, I didn't recognize you when you came in this morning, Tommy. I wanted to do this. I said, is this by accident or did you do this on purpose? Like, I thought there was an illustration coming where, you might say, well, what I've said to the youth a lot as we go through, if you take the world's way and you turn it upside down, that's God's way. And it's true in everything. And that's pretty much what Satan can do. Satan cannot create. Satan can only destroy. Satan can only degrade and defile. And so when Satan wants to tempt us, when Satan wants to get us in trouble, he takes what God has done and he turns it upside down. And that's what I thought Tommy was doing with the Facebook thing, but he just had his phone upside down. But it was still a powerful prayer. It was great. It was just, I turned my phone upside down and the screen flipped, and I turned it upside down, the screen flipped, and I thought you'd be getting dizzy, so I stopped doing that. Anyways, it's not our attitude that affects our gratitude. It's our altitude that affects our gratitude. And that's what we're going to talk about today, and we're going to talk about through these verses. So I'm going to read the text now, and that is really small. But there's nothing I can do about it. So I'm going to read, and hopefully you've got a Bible with you, and I'll read it to you too. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.'" I don't have a Jesus voice, Aaron, so. "And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Amen. I agree. Which is what amen means. We're going to talk about the difference between confidence and cockiness today. And it's a huge difference. The confidence is the feeling that one can rely on someone or something. Confidence means that you trust in something to come through for you when you need it. And we display confidence all the time in worldly things. As I'm driving along the highway today, at 65 miles an hour, because that's the speed limit. As I'm driving along the highway today, I am trusting that my tire is not going to blow out. I am trusting that someone's not going to swerve over and just dive in front of me and knock me off the road. I'm trusting that my car is going to go and get me to church and get me where I need to go. That's confidence. I have confidence in my car. And I have confidence in the products I use when I get ready in the morning. I have confidence that the toothpaste is going to help cleanse my teeth and that the shampoo, well, no shampoo, but I have confidence that the soap is going to cleanse my head and my body. And that's confidence, that we can rely on something. There's also self-confidence, though. That's confidence in yourself. And I got to tell you, and I'm saying this, and this might be an unpopular opinion, self-confidence is not from the Lord. We are not to rely on ourselves. If I could rely on myself, I wouldn't need God. If I could do it myself, I wouldn't need his help. And the example I go to when I talk about that a lot is Weight Watchers for me. And I am in Weight Watchers. And it's helping me to lose weight. And I've dropped a bunch already. And people say, well, why do you need it now? Now you know the ideas behind Weight Watchers, you don't need that anymore. And I say, if I could do it myself, I wouldn't need to go to Weight Watchers in the first place. I wouldn't have a problem. So I can't rely on myself for that. And I can't rely on myself for anything, certainly not for my salvation. If I could do it myself, Jesus wouldn't have had to die for me and for all of us. And the example I want to give you is Larry Bird. And again, we're going back to basketball. We're going back to the 80s because I'm going to be 50 years old in June, and that's where I go back to. 50. I know, I have the body of an 80-year-old, but I'm 50. Larry Bird was, and still is today, considered one of the greatest basketball players who has ever played the game, JJ. And in 1986, they had just started the three-point competition in the All-Star game, and it was the very first one. And they invited all these guys who were really good at shooting. And Larry Bird made sure that he came in late. And he walked into the locker room, and he stands in the doorway. and he looks around. And he looks at everyone in the locker room. And some of the guys see him, and they all know who he is. He's been in the league now for a bunch of years. They've won championships. They know who he is. And he's looking around, and one of the guys in the locker room says, "What's the matter?" He says, "I'm just looking to see who's going to come in second place." And he won the next 3 years, the three-point competition. Because, again, he was one of the greatest who has ever played. And he was blessed with that. Unfortunately, Larry Bird was not confident. Larry Bird was cocky. And the Bible calls that haughtiness. And that's H-A-U-G-H-T-I-N-E-S-S. That has nothing to do with the word haughty that's thrown around today. It's haughtiness, H-A-U. And the picture that's up on the screen now is Larry Bird lying down on the floor during a game. And by the end of his career, the last couple of years, Larry Bird couldn't even sit on a bench anymore. His back was so bad. And he'd come off the floor. He could only play a little bit. And even in the Olympic Games in 92, the Dream Team, that was the last year that Larry Bird played. And he actually had to sit out a bunch because of his back. And he was on the team, and he started the game just as ceremony, but he was the first guy off because his back couldn't handle it. And still to this day has trouble walking. And God has not blessed this. And, you know, some people believe it's because of his haughtiness. All right, and that's what haughtiness is, when you feel arrogantly superior or disdainful. Like, no, I'm just pretty much better than the rest of you. And that's what he felt, and that's not the way to get blessed. That is certainly not a spirit of gratitude. The word haughty in the Bible is used several times, but the one that's the most famous is probably Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And God has a way of balancing out the scales. God can use us, and God wants to use us, but he can't use us when we're up here. God can only use us when we are humble enough to say, "Please use me. I have nothing left." And in fact, in the word it says that God uses the off-scouring of this world to amaze the wise. And the off-scouring literally is the fungus that grows on the tubs, on the side of a tub. That's what the word literally means. That's what we are when we're used by God. So when you look at someone that's being used by God in a mighty way, just remember, they're just fungus. They're the off-scouring. I want to get into the text now, and we're going to talk about the text for a bit, and then we're going to have the chance to show our gratitude. So as you start thinking about what you're grateful for. But I do want to get into the text and start talking about what these things are. And it says in the beginning here, it says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.'" To teach today, I've been doing a lot of research on leprosy, and it is disgusting. There's no other way to put it. And I'll read this again. I wish the writing were bigger. That's my fault. But it says, "Leprosy, also known as Hansen's disease, is a long-term infection by the bacterium Myobacterium leprae, or Myobacterium lepromatosis." And if you can see the picture, you can see the ridges edged into this gentleman's face. And this is actually it is a case of leprosy. You can see actually parts of the nose starting to fall off. And that's what happens with leprosy. It says symptoms developed include granulomas, or a degradation of the nerves, respiratory tract, skin, and eyes. This may result in a lack of ability to feel pain, thus loss of parts of extremities due to repeated injuries or infection due to unnoticed wounds. Weakness and poor eyesight may also be present. So what happens is you stop being able to feel. It starts at usually the tips of your fingers, your nose, your extremities, your toes. And it eventually starts to kind of go up your arms, go into your face, go up your legs. And what happens is when you injure those parts, they do not heal. And unfortunately, you don't know you're injuring them. And you can have leprosy for years, or they used to have leprosy for years. And when you'd injure yourself, things would actually, since there's no blood flow, there's no nerves, they would start to fall off. So literally pieces of your skin, pieces of the skin on your nose would start to fall off. And leprosy is still around today, although it's very rare. And today it's curable. But back then it wasn't. And it was transmitted, they figured out very early, through the air, through bodily fluids that are transmitted in the air, whether it be saliva, whether it be blood, mucus, whatever. So if someone was talking and they would spit a little bit, there could be leprosy germs in that. So what they started doing was taking the lepers, and they would, at spear point, kick you out of the town. And remember that you're in these walled cities to protect you from raiders. So if you were kicked out of the town, you were separated from everybody. And you had no protection. You're alone, subject to whoever would come by, and you were defenseless. So they completely separated you from family, from friends, from the city, from society. And these lepers ended up finding each other. And they would find each other outside the city, and they would start their own little cities, usually near water or something needed to survive. And these would be called leper colonies. Eventually, they'd tell people they were there. And when someone developed leprosy in the city, they would kick them out of the city. They would find the leper colony, and that's where they'd go to live. Lepers immediately became the lowest of society. Lower than slaves, lower than women, lower than poor people, lower than everybody, because they were shunned. At least the slaves were protected in the cities. They were shunned completely. And in fact, when a leper would walk along the street, you were required by law, if you saw people coming, to yell, "Unclean, unclean." And so people would know, oh, there's a leper. They'd go to the other side of the street, and they'd walk away. And these lepers would come along the side, and they'd get what they needed to from the city if they needed something, and then they'd leave. They would kick them out immediately. So being a leper was as bad as it got. Lepers didn't gather based on race, based on religion, based on anything except the fact that they all had leprosy. They were all stuck together. So if you came upon a group of lepers, they'd be all bandaged up. You wouldn't know who was there. They were just bandaged people. And you didn't know whether they were Jewish, whether they were Samaritan, whether they were Roman or anybody else. They were just lepers. We just leave them over there. So what it says is, these 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." The 10 men, this group of men, they recognize that Jesus is someone who can help them. Jesus has a reputation. He has followers. He has crowds of people around him. He has healed the lame. He has made the blind see. He has healed the sick. And he is famous for it. And people come really to get things from him a lot. And this is what these lepers did. They came and they humbled themselves. And they said, you know what? He can help us. He can give us something that we can't give ourselves. And as they recognize that in Jesus, they ask for help. And asking for help is one of the most humbling things that we can do. Men, when we are driving and we are lost, what are men famous for not doing? And it was all the women that answered that. That's good. Yes, asking for directions. All right? We don't ask for directions because that wouldn't be manly. Okay? We don't want to ask for directions. I can find my way out of this. And you notice, guys, when we're lost, we never say, well, I'll just retrace my steps. Oh, no, I will find another way to get home. All right? Because we want to be trailblazers, pioneers. All right, yeah, you're driving along a highway. You're not a pioneer. People have been there before. All right? But we don't ask for help. All right? We don't want that because that humbles us. And in fact, if you're trying to influence somebody, if you're trying to get on someone's good side, the best way to get on someone's good side and show them that you value them is to ask them for help for something, because it completely humbles you. It puts them in a position above you. You know something I don't know. You can do something I can't do. Would you please do this? I've had to do this recently because of my back. So now I have to ask my kids to move things. And it's very humbling. But it's the reason we have teenagers. All right? I'm just kidding, guys. I love you. Please drive me places. So the lepers are the lowest of the low with nowhere else to go. They have nothing to lose. So they decide they're going to ask Jesus for help. Verse 14, it says, when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And they went and they were cleansed. So Jesus sees them. He sees them being humble and putting themselves in a position where they can ask for help. And he says, go. Go be saved. You know, go be cleansed. This is not the easy journey that we're thinking is that we picture with this. Jesus was along the Galilee and Samaria border. And I looked up Google Maps. The trip back to the city is at least 20 miles. So these lepers have walked all this way to get to the city to see Jesus, ask for help, or to the border rather, see Jesus and ask for help. Jesus says, go and be cleansed. Go show yourself to the priest. And this was required because the priest was more important than the doctor at that point. Because the priest, they can show that they are cured. And what that means is you can come back to church. You can come back and worship God. And this is important to them in their society. So it's more important to show yourself to the priest and be allowed to come back into church than it is to show yourself to a doctor and be able to come back to the town. Because now you get to worship God again. So these lepers make the 20-mile trip. And they go back to the priest and they say, look, we're cleansed. They take the bandages off and they're better. And the priest says, you're right, you're cleansed. In verse 15, it says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. First off, that man, that one, this Samaritan, this stranger, made the 20-mile trip back. So you're talking 40 miles in 2 days, essentially, to say thank you. 40 miles in 2 days to praise God and thank him. And this is a Samaritan. Now, we're familiar with the Samaritans. We've heard of the Samaritan woman at the well. We've heard the story of the Good Samaritan. And both times, we hear those stories, and it's the assumption is, why are these Jewish people associating with these Samaritans? Samaritans were people of Samaria, that's south of Jerusalem, and they don't associate with Jewish people. That's like, to the Jewish people, those people are essentially the pigs of the human world. We don't associate with them. We have nothing to do with them. They're unclean. And even though they worship the same God, they're just not us. They're down there. And for a Samaritan person to do something godly would have astounded the Jews. As far as they were concerned, the Samaritans were barbarians who couldn't do anything right. And for this Samaritan to be the only one that came back when Jesus says this, because, first of all, when God asks a question, you got to assume it's hypothetical. He already knows the answer. It's not like Jesus is going, where are those other guys? I don't see them. Jesus knows. He's asking it because he wants to know, well, what happened to them? He says, we're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? You have to assume at least some of those nine were Jewish. Good Jewish boys who should be doing the right thing, who should be coming back to thank God. One of the classes I teach at Santana High School up in Santee, I have a bunch of advanced placement kids. And it's the advanced placement seniors. These kids are brilliant kids that are all going off to these really good colleges. And they're nice kids. There is not a behavioral incident in the whole group at all. They're the nicest kids. And I gave them an assignment to write down their pet peeves. It was one of the things they had to do. And out of the class of 33, I would say at least 15 of them wrote people without manners. And the one thing that they talked about was when you hold the door for someone, they don't say thank you. Don't you hate that? That's this. Hold the door, someone's going through, and they say thank you, and they walk out. We're probably 4 feet from each other by the time someone says thank you. This guy walked 20 miles to say thank you. And no one else could do it. All right? That is not the way a true worshiper should be behaving. But this guy not only walked the 20 miles, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. He lowers himself to the ground, literally. All right. Not only is he a Samaritan, so he's below them. He's a leper, so he's below them. And now he puts himself completely on the ground at Jesus' feet. That was the position of a servant, to be on the ground near someone. Remember, you're in the desert. Your feet are filthy. So if you're in the desert, you're washing someone's feet or you're at their feet. You are at the dirtiest part of their body. And that's where this Samaritan put himself, as low as he could go. He's only one out of the 10. All right? Our true humility and gratitude is very rare back then and now. All right? This morning, on my way to get a cup of coffee at the gas station and put gas in someone's car who needed it. You're welcome, Josh. I held the door open for a guy and didn't get a thank you. And it was funny because, I wasn't sitting there expecting it. I'm not, you know, going to tweet about it or anything. But, you know, current events joke. But as I held the door open for this guy and he walks through and didn't say anything, I was like, there you go, Lord, just confirming that. And then Aaron came up with the same verses. I was like, yeah, Lord, this is it. One out of the 10, 10% of the population is that humble and that grateful. That's still pretty true today. It says, your faith has made you well. As this Samaritan is prostrate on the ground. And he is hugging Jesus' feet and saying thank you. He has lowered himself as low as he can go. And Jesus says, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And other translations say, your faith has made you whole. Which, literally, medically, he would now be whole. The pieces are grown back, I assume. Or your faith has saved you, is another translation of that. Made you complete. That just blows me away. All right? It's that faith, when you lower yourself and God lifts you up, that's the faith that we have. True humility and gratitude is being thankful for that which we could never have achieved ourselves. Things like our salvation that I talked about earlier. We used to have Celebrate Recovery here, and many of you are familiar with Celebrate Recovery and Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12-step programs. And as I was looking through that, because one of my rabbit trails led to this, I was amazed how much that follows this story. And you can see the Christian influences in these 12 steps. Step one, admitting that you are powerless, or admitting that Jesus is the only one that can save you, like these lepers did. Step two, believing that a power greater than you can restore you to sanity, all right, or believing that God is the one who can heal you. Step seven is humbly asking God to remove your shortcomings, or Jesus, save us. And step 12 is showing that gratitude, having a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps. We try to carry this message to other sufferers and practice these principles in our affairs. That's showing that gratitude. And it's amazing how much those 12 steps sound like the lepers. It says in Matthew, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And that's what Jesus does. He lifts us up when we humble ourselves like that. And he brings us to where we need to be. Pastor Bob mentioned that I lived in Santa Fe for a while, and it's where Lisa and I met. It's where the boys were born, and they were both dedicated to God at this Calvary Chapel and in Santa Fe, where we used to attend. And every Thanksgiving Eve, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we would have a service. And I said it back then, and I will say it now, it was my favorite service of the year. And there was a short bit of worship, there was a short Bible study, and then there was time for people to take a microphone and say why they are thankful. And that public outpouring of thanks, that coming up in front of people and saying, God has done this for me, God, and humbling yourself and saying, I couldn't have done it myself, God did it for me, is what Christianity is all about. It's humbling ourselves and being used by him. And testimonies are powerful things. And as we heard today, And I will say, Rocky, you moved me to tears. I was in tears in the back. And I cry easily, admittedly. But I was in tears in the back, just listening. And it's a powerful thing. And I would like to give you that chance now to do that. When we teach the youth, and by the way, I translated this myself. I think it's pretty good. I think it's close. But when we, in the youth group, we talk, and we've talked before, and we've talked, it stands about, these are the steps in basically being transformed. You pray about what you need to change, you resolve to change it, and then you do something. And I'd like to do that here. So as we start to get ready to share a little bit on the microphone, I'd like to, like I said, give anyone who would like to a chance to talk about what they're grateful for. We'd like to pray first and really come up with something that you are truly grateful for that you could not have done yourself. I am grateful for the coffee I had this morning. And I made it, and God provided it, but it's coffee. But there are so many more things that I am grateful for. I am grateful for my salvation that I could have never have done on my own. I am grateful that God gave me a beautiful and godly wife who he works in me and through her every day. I am grateful that God gave me two amazing sons and one basically almost son who bless me with how God uses them and works in them and shows me his love through them. I am grateful for my extended family, like my in-laws who are here today, for my church family, who I see two times a week and is just not enough, and for everything he has blessed me with on this earth. And that humbles me because it just shows much how much my God loves me. And God loves you too. So if you'd like to come up and say thank you, I'm going to pray about this and talk, but if you'd like to come up and say thank you for something, I will say this, because we had to do this in Santa Fe too. We're going to limit you to about 2 minutes. Because that service, the service before, the year before he started limiting it, I think the service went for over 2 hours. Because people would get on the microphone and they'd start and they'd cry and it would just go and go, and it was like 2 hours long, and finally the pastor said, okay, we need to limit to about 2 minutes. So we're probably going to limit it to about a minute to 2 minutes. So if you'd come up with one beautiful thing that God has done for you that you could never have done for yourselves, we would love to hear about it and praise him in his church, but praise him in the presence of his people. And I have a couple of people who said they want to go first just to kind of prime the pump. And Natty's going to come out here, and she wants to go first in Spanish. And one person is going to go first in English. And then, like I said, we'll kind of make it, you know, if you'd like to come up, come on up. We'll go for a little bit. And then, like I said, this service can get really long. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. God, that you do so much for us, Lord. I pray you would bring things to our heart now, Lord, things that only you can do for us. Lord, you are our everything. Lord, you are our sustenance, you are our provider, and you love us more than we love ourselves. I pray, Lord, as we give these testimonies to you of things we are grateful for, God, that you would be blessed, that we would be inspired to see, Lord, how wonderful you are, and we would tell others about it, just like the leper did. Come back to you and praise you at your feet. I pray these things in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. So Natty's going to come up first, because she promised me she would. And then someone who lives in my house is going to come up, and because he promised me he would. Thank you.
Pues en español, yo vengo con la cintura como Pastor Scott y como Lori. Yo no tengo eso, pero la tengo muy chueca, muy para la dada al traste, ¿verdad? Ya ahorita estaba sentada y no me podía parar, así venía. Yo lo mío es que viví aquí cerquita, como medio bloque. Y yo veía la iglesia, pero veía a Cristina, la que me trajo aquí a la iglesia. Me invitaba. Y no, yo no voy, yo no quiero ir. Y ella siempre me criticaba diciendo, ay, tú nomás estás aquí empinada en la tierra cuidando tus flores. Vamos a la iglesia. Ella llegaba con comida y eso fue lo que me trajo aquí. la, que Cristina me invitó y venir a la comida porque ella llevaba, me iba y me daba. Dije, no era la necesidad de la comida, es que Dios quería que viniera aquí. Y por medio de Cristina fue que yo vine aquí. Entonces aquí estoy todavía, yo le doy gracias a Dios por todo lo que ha hecho el cambio en mi vida, que no es como, ¿qué puedo decir? Todavía tengo a veces el coraje muy cerquita, pero siempre le pido a Dios que ese coraje me lo quite, porque siempre de cualquier cosita quiero hacer lo que no debo, ¿verdad? Y a veces quiero hasta, como dice el pastor, ama a tu prójimo como a ti mismo. Es muy duro, es muy duro. Yo tengo algo allí muy duro conmigo y prefiero mejor como Yuseli, mejor irme pues un poquito por un lado, porque a veces es un coraje que hago que no debo de hacer porque la persona no quiere cambiar. Pero yo, Dios me tiene aquí, tengo que tener la paciencia para esa persona. Yo, y no estaba haciendo yo que diga mal, que andaba yo tomando, andaba haciendo drogas, pero estaba haciendo mal en mi vida porque necesitaba a Dios en mi vida y aquí estoy para, pues para seguirles dando lata a veces, ¿verdad? A veces nos estamos unos con otros y nos queremos como que, ay, enojarnos, pero pues yo son mi familia aquí de la iglesia y los quiero mucho y espero también que como con Cristina siempre ando yo que queriéndole, pero yo te quiero mucho, Cristina.
No.
Okay, so.
Translate it all? No.
All of it?
No. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
No, we got it. Everyone understood. Hold on one sec. Josh, do you want to come? There you go, bud. Thank you, bud.
Hey, how's everyone? How everyone doing?
Good.
Yeah, Dad asked me to come speak last night, and I was thinking last night about we always have a talk on Thanksgiving about what we're thankful for, and I'm sure a lot of people do. And I was trying to remember what I said, but one of the things that stuck out was my family has done a lot for me. I've been playing football and going to school, and I eat a lot and I drive a lot, so. I'm very thankful for them working and just being able to provide and help me out with money right now because I don't have time to work right now. And they're just such a blessing, and they sacrificed a lot of their time and a lot of their energy so I could do what I love. And I'm very thankful for that, and I love them a lot. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Amen.
All right. This young lady has been dying to come up since, like, earlier. Come on up. And God is going to speak here if she got something to say. Here you go.
Bueno, en español. Dios les bendiga, hermanos.
En francés.
En francés?
Sí.
No parlaba de francés.
Ah, bueno.
Dios les bendiga, hermanos. Yo estoy agradecida con Dios porque en el 2010 me dio cáncer. Le hubo 4 en el pecho, me lo quitaron y estaba yo en el hospital y mi nieta tenía 4 años y le pegó cáncer también, así que yo estaba en el hospital y mi nieta también, pero yo le doy gracias a Dios porque yo le dije, Señor, estamos en tus manos, tú eres el doctor de doctores y tú dices la última palabra, pero el Señor, aquí mi nieta, por la bendita gracia de Dios, sana, fuera de cáncer. Y yo también, pero en eso, en el 2015, me pegó cáncer otra vez en el estómago. Lo mismo, cuando me dieron la noticia, dije, Señor, yo estoy en tus manos, tú eres mi doctor, y tú dices, hasta aquí llego. Y me vino la operación otra vez, y aquí estoy, toda operada y todo, pero yo le doy la gloria y honra al Señor, porque Él es el que hace todo, es el que hace la obra. El Señor es maravilloso, hermanos. El Señor es tan grande. Yo a veces digo, Señor, ¿por qué las gracias es tan chiquita? Si pudiendo decir una palabra más grandota para darte las gracias y la gloria a tu santo nombre. Dios me los bendiga. Los amo mucho con el amor de Cristo. Y siempre le pido al Señor por todos nosotros, por los que estamos presentes y por los que no estamos presentes. Los amo en el amor de Cristo, hermanos. Dios los bendiga.
Gracias. Thank you. All right, let's do a couple more. Okay.
Hi. What? No comprende? I just, you know, the Lord is amazing. I was saved when I was 8. And I really thank the Lord for the life I've lived. And it's not necessarily been the best, but it was the life that brought me to have faith in the Lord. I also praise God for this body. You know, it's sick all the time. But I'm up walking. I'm up talking. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but that's okay. You know, a lot of people come up to me and say, you know, if I'd have things wrong that you have had in all these years, I would have given up. And that's never, ever been a thought in my mind. And I know it's the faith that I have in the Lord, and I know it's the strength and the mercy that the Lord's given me. And I also know that the prayer of this church is what has helped the people, the doctors and the surgeons and everything, to make it possible for me to come up here and stand, and I'm pretty much without pain. And yeah. And I'm just grateful, even with the life that I lived. You know, I lived out in sin. I was a drug addict. But I always knew he was right here. Mm-hmm. I could feel him. And I'd hear him whisper to me how much he loved me, that I didn't have to go through that. And yet I did it. But it made me who I am today. And I'm not embarrassed by who I am today. I'm a child of God. And I want to shout to the world how he's changed me. And with my bipolar, you know, I'm not ashamed of any of that. I walk. The Lord is so merciful, and I'm living proof of the love that He has for all of us.
Amen. Well, thank you. Open mic night. Now's your chance. Anyone else? Oh, sorry. Remember, 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm the one that will take four. Because I'm going to do
dos en español, dos en inglés. Yeah. Sí. Bueno.
I like the service today.
Thank you.
Because
me too.
It's helping God's me to express what I'm doing right now. I've been here about 3 years now, come December. And I worked 2 years. I gave it everything I had. Last breath, everything that I had, I gave it all. And a year ago, I stopped doing most of the things. But I kept doing ministry, I kept counseling, I kept loving people, because that is who God has made me to be, a person that loves everyone. So if you don't see me, I'm going to take 2 weeks off. And that's because God he wants me to rest. He's put Psalm 46:10 in my heart. Every time I pray, I keep that, it keeps coming up. You know, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. So I want to be still for a while. I'm going to go to another church just to, you know, hear the word of God. But I need to be still for a minute. So if you see me, it's not because I don't love you. Because if it hasn't been for you guys loving me, I wouldn't be here. Because your love has kept me here. Amen. There's been things that I don't agree with. But, you know, even Barnabas and the Apostle Paul had a confrontation. And they both went their own ways because they couldn't do ministry together. So I don't know where I'm at right now, but I need God to put that in my heart to see where I'm at. Because I need to be put where I could be used. And I want to be used. That is who I am. I'm one of those people that were down there, you know, and I want to be used. I don't want to be up here. I want to stay down there, mm-hmm. And I need to do that, and I need to be obedient to what God's called me to do, and He's called me to care and love people. So that's what I'm going to do. So if you see me, please, don't think I left the church. I haven't. It's just that I won't be here for a while. Voy a tomar dos semanas de mi vida para acercarme más a Dios. Quiero saber por qué a veces me enojo y me ofendo tan fácil. Quiero saber por qué. Porque no sé si es porque es algo que es bueno o es algo que no está bueno. Pero quiero saber. Quiero estar aquí. Y he tratado muchas veces de irme de la iglesia, pero no me dejan. Su amor, ustedes queriéndome, no me dejan. No me dejan irme. Y no me voy a ir. Nomás no me van a ver como unas dos semanas. Quiero saber qué está pasando. Because I want to know if I'm right or righteous. I want to be righteous. I don't want to be right. I don't have to be right. I can't, if I'm right, I can't care for no one. That's my way of thinking, like you were saying. That's ourself, you know, trying to be good about who we are. But that's not me. I just want to love people. And I thank you for loving me back. I really do. I thank you for that. Amen. And that's what's kept me here. And I love my pastor. I do. I love him. I pray for him every day. But, you know, I'm tired of bumping heads with him. I'm tired of that. I don't want to be mad at him. I don't want to be mad at all the rules that he puts. I don't want to be mad at them. I want to be able to accept them and to just keep going, you know. Because a good leader is always a good follower.
Stay here, will you? Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Carlos, that you are good and mighty. Lord, pray that anointing, that calling, that confirmation, Lord. Yes. Glorify yourself in him. In Jesus' name. Amen. What's that?
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Somebody else?
Good time, probably Gail. One or two more. There you go.
Hi, I'm Jeanette, and I'm thankful that my daughters, that my 7-year-old grandson with me, Josiah, to live with me, we were all kind of swaying away from our belief, and he reminds me every day, Grandma, you know, God said do this, Grandma. God wants you to do that. And he's not with me today because my daughter's sick. And he said, Grandma, you go to church because God wants me to take care of Auntie today. And on Thanksgiving, he said, my two older granddaughters said, let's eat. And he goes, oh, no, wait. We got to say thank you to God for this food. And we got to say thank you for, we each got to think about what we're grateful for and say thank you. So we each did. And he's like, okay, now we can eat. But, he wanted to let the church know that he didn't not come to church because he's playing. But, he wants to be baptized. I told him we got to talk to his mom and stuff. But, that's what I'm grateful for.
All right. Thank you, dear. You can tell him it's an excused absence today. That's okay. And one more? Sure. It's you're the birthday girl. You can come up. Happy birthday.
God is so good. He's so good. Yes. Oh, thank you for your birthday wishes. It's really special to me. It's a special time just to be in church. And it wasn't always like that because I was brought up in a denominational church and I had a good foundation, which I now appreciate. But when I was a teenager, I fled from the church as fast as I could. Mm. It just wasn't for me. I just didn't feel the call of God. I wanted to do my own thing. So today I want to praise God and I want to thank him for the people that he put in my path for over 30 years. He kept putting people in my path. I had no idea that they were planting seeds of faith and seeds of hope in my life and that one day I would remember the things that they said and it would bring me to my salvation. So I pray that he brought people. And I had no idea that I had so many Christian friends, but God put those people in my path. And they planted seeds. And then another one came along, and that person watered that seed. And another one came along, and it nourished that seed and gave it sun and light. And then my daughter invited me to church, because I was in a bad way. Of course, my sin just brought me spiraling, and it brought me to my knees. And it was my own daughter. Her name is Grace. Hallelujah. It was my own daughter that invited me to her church. And where I heard God's unadulterated, pure word. and I was convicted that I was a sinner and I needed a savior. And I gave my heart and my life to Jesus in that church. And I'll never forget a scripture that, and I don't even remember the address of the scripture. I don't remember exactly which one it is, but it said, and I knew as soon as I heard it that it was written just for me. And it said, the Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. So when you're praying for people, you think, oh, God can never save that person. Or you're praying for people and they still haven't given their heart and their life to Jesus. Don't give up praying. Keep watering that seed. Keep shedding light on that seed. You keep praying for that person and never give up. And that person, you know, God answers prayer. Now, he doesn't always answer. He answers people's prayers when they ask to be saved. Not because you pray a prayer, but because they pray a prayer. That they admit, man, I've messed up my life. I need Jesus so desperately. I need you to be, just take over the reins. And it's, you know, when I admitted that I need a Savior and I was assured of my entrance into heaven when I die, man, that gives me so much peace. That's the assurance that I have, is that as a believer, I am assured of a place in heaven with my Lord Jesus. Saved my life in more ways than one.
Amen. Thank you. I got to tell you, they always talk about mothers-in-law and stuff like that, and I got no jokes. My mother-in-law is awesome. It's like,
yeah. Close up.
Close up.
A little round of applause for Pastor Scott. Amen. Good service today. Thank you, Pastor Scott. Put a hug on him down there for lunch.
Yes.
And there you go. That's it?
We're going to close up, I guess.
We're going to close up. Prayer. We're going to let Gail close us up. I saw her hand earlier. You can just bring a testimony that you won Thanksgiving. I saw that. I said, everybody, we got time for Gail?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought we might. Well, I am just so thankful. I've had a wonderful year and a really hard year. The hard is because God is disciplining me so strongly and refining me, and it's painful, but it's really good. And to know that God's paying that much attention, that he's nitpicking, that's a good thing. And I'm thankful for that because he's purifying me. I have been really blessed this year. I got to meet with Teddy and Rebecca every week for over a year, and we're just going through a discipleship manual and going through Bible studies together. And in this church, you get together with people that are so not like you and find out how much you are like them and just love them to death. And so I'm really appreciative for that opportunity. And for The Simpsons, for getting me involved in the assisted living ministry. And those are wonderful people, too, that I love to be with. And so I'm just thankful to God for them inviting me to do these things and all these opportunities.
Amen. Well, we're going to have lunch in a minute, and you can share what you're thankful with or thankful for. But let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross for us. Maybe you're here this morning and you heard the testimonies in the baptism tank, or you heard the word from Aaron and from Pastor Scott, and God has spoken to your heart and said, I want to know you. I want to know you like I know them, because there's a wall between us. I've been reaching out to you, and you are like those 9 lepers who have no time for me. And this morning, I want to be like the one, Lord. I want to come back, and I want to know you, and I want to throw myself at your feet, and I want to be transformed in my existence, and no one's looking around, but that's you this morning, and you want to accept the Lord into your life. And you want to be transformed with nobody looking around. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. right here. Somebody else say, that's me, right here. Anybody else say, that's me. See that hand? You can put that down back here. Anybody else, that's me. I want to know the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are good and that you work through our testimonies, through the Spirit, through your word, through the proclamation, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Well, put a hug on somebody from a distance. Don't get sick. And go downstairs. They got some great lunch for you guys. God bless you all. You are dismissed. Thank you again, Pastor Scott, for leading us.